This is Thanksgiving week ahead, and so we want to talk a little bit about giving thanks and Thanksgiving. I have tried to use at certain times when we're not in a particular series, the lectionary readings, and the lectionary reading for this day, for the week, well, actually it's for Thanksgiving Day, is Psalm 126. And it was a little bit surprising to me that this is the psalm that's chosen, because it doesn't say, give thanks. It's a different psalm. There are lots of psalms that say, give thanks. And this in some ways does, but not as directly. This is one of the songs of ascent. There are 15 psalms, 120 through 134, that have this notation on them, songs of ascent. And scholars think that they were read or sung as people made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, at one of the festivals at the temple. And that may be so. But we want to look at this psalm. It's sort of a two-part psalm. The first is a remembrance, and the second is a prayer or a request. So let's begin and look at this remembrance and see. I wouldn't have chosen this psalm as a Thanksgiving psalm, but I think it fits. You'll tell me afterwards whether it fits. The psalmist begins, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced." The psalmist begins by talking about that the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. That's something that happened in the past, and they're remembering it. Now, when you read commentaries about this, what they say is, well, that very well could be when the people were taken from Babylon and brought back to Jerusalem, the return from exile. If you read the Old Testament, the worst thing that happens in the Bible is the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians. They surround the city, they break through the walls, and they destroy the temple. They take all the leaders away eventually, and they end the Davidic monarchy. And they lose their land. The Babylonians take control of the land. So they've lost everything. And yet, 70 years later, God allows some of them to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And in some ways, you can imagine that that would be like a dream come true. And they would rejoice and celebrate, and that even the nations would talk about, God has done this. God has been good to allow them to return after a foreign nation drove them out of their land. And they say, we rejoice. But it doesn't name what the event is. And it's vague in some ways. And I think that is intentional. It could be the return from exile, but it could have been a great military victory for them. But it's vague for this reason. Because this was used in worship. And this would be sung or chanted or repeated centuries after the event. And they wanted to make it general enough to apply to other things and other times and to us. Are there times in your life when you had prayed, restore our fortune, O Lord, and God answered that prayer? Were there times when maybe your marriage was on the rocks and you thought, there is no way we're going to make it? And yet God miraculously brought healing to your family. And God restored your fortune. Maybe it was that a doctor gave you a diagnosis that frightened you and scared you, and you turned to God, and God answered that prayer and brought healing and restored your fortune. Maybe it was a family disagreement and a separation, and God restored that and brought you back together. Or, truth be told, maybe it was a prayer that wasn't answered. Healing didn't come. Reunion didn't come. But God was there anyway. And you realize that God saw you through that. And he was there, even though that prayer was not answered the way you want it to be answered. And the proper response to that kind of situation is to rejoice, to be glad, to celebrate. And there are people who have seen what has gone on in your life, and they have said about you, God was with them. That's a miracle. God was at work there. That's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is remembering God's faithfulness and remembering how they responded to God's faithfulness. And they rejoiced and they celebrated. And you and I could stand up this morning and talk all morning long, all afternoon long, of those situations where God saw us through, where God brought healing. But I have to point out the context for that celebration, for those times of rejoicing. And what when the psalmist says, oh, the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, it means that he also at one time took it away. And the context of this psalm is a time of sorrow, possibly tragedy, when prayers weren't answered, when pain came. But the psalmist is saying, remember those times in the past when God saw us through, when we rejoiced in his faithfulness. And now, in the second half of the psalm, the psalmist is asking for the help because it's needed again, because something has happened. God was faithful in the past, but what about now in the present? And the psalmist is saying, listen to what he says. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seeds for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. There is a need for restoration again. Something has happened and it's brought brokenness and pain into the people's lives. And now they're crying out for God to do his work again, his work of restoration, his work of healing again. And they say, the psalmist is saying, restore our fortunes like the winter rains that come and fill the riverbeds that are dry much of the year. Lord, we know when the winter comes, the rains will come and they will give us those rivers again. If you go there during the summer, they're gone. They've evaporated, but they come during the winter rains. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, like you are faithful to give us that rain and to bring that water into the riverbeds again, so we trust that you will bring restoration to us again. The next image is a little more confusing to me. And when I tried to study it, I didn't think the commentators did a very good job. But I remembered a story. Missionaries in a third world country reaching out to subsistence farmers. And they told about how this psalm related to their situation. And they talked about, and I think it might apply to ancient Israel, and I think it applies to us. They were saying that when these subsistence farmers came to the harvest time, and they gathered in all their food and all their grains, things were good. In that culture, they only had two meals, even in the best of times. And they had two meals, and they were full. And the children, when they went to bed full and content and happy. That's why we eat too much on Thanksgiving Day. We say, none of us have harvested anything, but we say it's harvest time. You know, the leanness of times are over. The harvest is in. Let's eat extra. But as the year goes on and the stores of grain are diminished, less is given. Less is available. And what was once two full meals becomes two not quite full meals. And what were two not quite full meals become one insufficient meal. And now, before the next harvest, before the next abundance, the children go to bed hungry. And you can imagine what would happen if one of those children went into the hut or the storage shed where the farm equipment is kept, and they see a bag. And they look in that bag and they see grain, wheat, or oats. And they run back into the house and they say, we've got more than we thought. There's extra grain in the storage shed. We can eat tonight. And you can imagine that mom and dad saying, that's not food. That's what we'll sow in the spring. And that you can imagine the disappointment and probably the tears in those children's eyes. And you can imagine that when it comes time to sow those seeds, they are sown with tears. Because those parents, those farmers, are literally taking food from their children's mouths and throwing it on the ground, trusting that God will provide a harvest again. I think that's the background of this image that the psalmist uses. That you sow with tears because there's never enough at the end of the year. And you sow with tears and with trust that this food that has been taken from the children's mouths won't be wasted, but will, with rain and sun, become a harvest. And that they are willing to do it and not give it to the children is because they trust that God will provide and God will raise up a harvest. The second half of the psalm is a prayer that the fortunes be restored, like the water is restored with the winter rains and like the food is restored at harvest time. And they are saying, we trust you, Lord, to provide. When you're sowing with tears, it still hurt. It's still hard and it still hurts. But you trust God. And what I think the psalmist is saying is that you and I can trust God. We can give thanks because God is faithful and he will see us through. That like God brings the winter rains, like God provides a harvest, even though the seeds are sown in tears, he will provide and he will give what is needed. Rejoice, give thanks, because God is faithful. Doesn't mean it's always that way. Doesn't mean it will be this week. Even though it's Thanksgiving, it may still be a hard time for you or for me. But the psalmist is saying, trust God anyway. Give thanks. God is faithful. The psalmist says, those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. God is dependable. God is trustworthy. Give thanks. Give thanks. I am not Mr. Optimistic. I am not someone who sees the silver lining in the cloud. And on Thanksgiving Day, the truth is, I could get up and say, well, let me tell you what's wrong with the world. And I could list off all kinds of things. And they would be true. But my wife won't let me. Amen. Amen. And instead, she will say, before we eat our meal, when we're circled up around the table or around the food, what are you thankful for? And we'll go through the line around that circle and we'll tell what we're thankful for. And it will be true. Give thanks because God is faithful. Even in the dark days, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is faithful and he'll see us through. Give thanks. Give thanks. Amen.